Well, can this happen? Maybe. Let's take your phone calls with David Hagberg when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. David, would the water wars be started when a nation would say, we don't have water, you do, and we're going to take it?
Yes, but probably more complicated than that. Probably more like the India-Pakistan, because rivers tend to not care much about international borders.
Right.
And so anybody downstream could be out of luck, because, you know, the people at the source are going to take the water, whatever they need. And if there's anything left over, there's a big flat between Georgia and Florida. Water flowing somewhere out of a lake in Georgia, when Atlanta was having the big drought a year or two ago, they started cutting the spigots and started limiting the flow across the border of Florida. Well, we jumped up and down and said, well, there's salt marsh estuaries that there's certain species of animals or fish or whatever, or crabs, that need a certain amount of fresh water, and they weren't getting it. And so the fight came down to who was more important, the estuary crabs in Florida, I'm simplifying it, or people in Atlanta. And they actually compromised between people and crabs. So it's complicated. But when the faucet begins to run dry, people will fight over it, even more importantly than energy. I mean, push comes to shove, we can always walk or get bicycles. But without water, we're sunk.
Well, that's true. There's no doubt about that. Let's take some phone calls here for you. Let's go to Roy in Rupert, Georgia. Let's get us going. Hey, Roy, thanks.
Yes, sir. Mr. Norrie, you brought to Mr. Hagberg's attention of a fact about, let's call it anti-peak oil. You know, it's the expression peak oil. You're hearing now the expression peak oxygen. With a gentleman that broadcasts 15 hours a week, 59-year-old doc. Sir, Mr. Hagberg was talking about the energy from the Gulf Stream. There is no Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream, also known as a loop curtain, I heard him using, I think, another word. There's about five. I don't know how many words that they use for expressions they use for Gulf Stream, but there is no Gulf Stream anymore, sir. 29 degrees in UK last winter, first time in 1,000 years. Blowout of the oil drilling well, and it was known you should not drill oil through a salt dome, and the destruction is MI6, I guess. Anyway, go ahead and put the damn oil well then through the salt dome and destroyed the ecosystem of the Gulf of Mexico, with the counterclockwise currents coming on the ocean from from the eastern hemisphere to the western hemisphere, and circling around and going up around the peninsula of Florida, all the way up the East Coast, across the North Atlantic, and bathing Europe in warm currents. And now we are in for crop failures, along with 2012 and planetary alignments, 26,500
miles. Roy, do we have a question here?
There, the question is, with energy there, deriving energy from the Gulf Stream. There is no Gulf Stream, and also you brought to his attention about the anti-peak oil. You know, there's no peak oil either. The Russians.
I still haven't heard your question.
the question is, so that throws out that source of energy, and I'm looking at a map here of Pakistan, and I'm sure why they carved out Pakistan is countless rivers.
I still haven't heard your question, and I got 1,000 people on hold here that want to get through. But what's your thoughts about him? He is saying that the Gulf Stream has stopped.
There are fluctuations, but I think the 29 degree temperature in Plymouth in southern England is just maybe it didn't happen 1,000 years, but things are happening. Global warming has unintended consequences. But as far as I know, if the Gulf Stream stopped, there'd be all sorts of things happening more than 29 degrees in England. And people I know over at NOAA, you'd be reading about this all over the place because it's way too important. You can tell where the Gulf Stream is. I've sailed across it. You dip a thermometer in the water, and when you hit the Gulf Stream, it's like within 10 feet, the temperature climbs about 2 or 3 degrees. And people going to the Bahamas, if the Gulf Stream wasn't going north at 2.5 or 3 knots, and it stopped, and you compensated for that current to try to sail to the Bahamas, you'd miss the Bahamas. And I have sailing friends, and nobody's mentioned that to me. So I'll look into it, but I don't think that's right.
Well, here's another idea for your novel, this story on the abiotic oil theory. Picture this, a group of oil executives from different companies in a clandestine meeting, David.
And, I love it already.
And they say, look, we know that this planet has an abundance of oil. We need to convince the public that there's a finite limit to it. Okay. And then your hero goes off to do what he does. There you go. You got a winner. Gleason will love that.
Yeah, I know Gleason well. He's a good guy.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Barbara in Alexander, North Carolina.
Thank you, sure, George. I've been waiting for 2 years to get through. I have so many things that I wanted to put forth about the alternative energy.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing about 5 years ago, some of us in our area received a letter about an alternative source of energy, which was a little box that we could put on our porch, and we would have all the energy that we wanted, and then we would sell the rest of it to the grid. Well, we were interested, and some of us wrote back, and I think it was going to cost about $1,000. And it said it wasn't harmful or anything, and we could sell it back to the grid. And all of a sudden, it was all hushed up, and we never heard of it again. And then there was Billy, I've forgotten his last name, that had the contact with the aliens.
Billy Meyer.
Yeah, Billy Meyer, and all of a sudden, he developed this car that ran on a gallon of water all across the nation, didn't he? And that was hushed up. And then there was the man who had the alternative.
Look what they did to Tesla.
Yeah, the alternative
Let's get some comments about David, the conspiracy behind these things. When people do come up with alternative forms of energy, they either get bought out or they get muffled.
I'm going to say yes and no to you, because yes, if there's anything that seems to hurt the status quo, as we talk about, it's all about money. This is about money. It always has been. Then, yes, they'll be bought out and be hushed up, because if I can make more of a profit off this little box, and I think I know what she's talking about, it's cold fusion. If I can make more money developing that than I can in oil derivatives, then I'll say the heck with oil derivatives, I'll do the little box thing. And if I can't, I'll buy it and I'll hush it up. That's very common. But also, that's the yes. The no is, we're filled with urban myths. And my wife was going to buy into one. It was in a big ad in the paper the other day, or a couple of weeks ago, about an air conditioning system, an air conditioner that is in the house. You just plug it in. It doesn't have to be, you know, what, a vent outside. You just plug it in next to the couch, and you got air conditioned air. And I said, that's impossible. What it does, an air conditioner takes in room air, it cools it down, and that heat that it takes out of that air, it has to go someplace, so you vent it outside. If this air conditioner was just in the room, you'd take the room air in, you'd cool it down, and the heat would have to go somewhere, right back in the room. So it's a zero-sum game. So I'm saying yes and no to both of you that there are urban myths out there about cars running across U.S. on using water. Sure, we can break down water into hydrogen and oxygen and then reburn it, but it takes energy to break the water down to hydrogen and oxygen. But yes, I totally agree. The money men, these are the money men and women. These are the people who control, he or she who controls the purse strings, controls just about everything. And you were right about Tesla. They jumped on that poor guy, and he was probably one of the most genius engineers in the last 100 years.
I think he would have been pulling energy out of the atmosphere for free. But they didn't want
that. Nothing's free. We would have been... further along, like the big argument between Edison and Westinghouse won producing electricity. Edison wanted to use direct current, and Westinghouse says, no, it's easier to use alternating current, and there were big battles in AC won. Remember the beta tape versus the
VHS?
So it ain't always the best that wins, but it's usually the people with the purse strings. And
David,
I'm not anti-rich, trust me. I'm just saying that guys meeting in a boardroom is not too far from the truth. It's probably right on.
What do you think of the possibilities of a electronic pulse weapon exploded over the United States by an Iran to knock out the grid that way too?
That'll work. What's going to be even more, what's even more dangerous to us is consider that our lives are almost totally dependent upon satellites and satellite communications. Well, China did an experiment. They sent up a rocket, I don't know how long ago, it wasn't too long ago, and they blew what they said was a defunct satellite out of orbit. And that's a bunch of luck. They may have done that, but the whole idea was, and because they had a real heavy-lifting rocket to go up there, a lot bigger rocket than, let's say, would only have taken 5 pounds of explosive to knock out that satellite. But they sent up a heavy-lifting rocket that was heavy enough to lift a hydrogen bomb up into orbit. And all you have to do is go into orbit in the same orbit the most satellites run in, knock a nuclear weapon, a hydrogen weapon, and that electromagnetic pulse is going to wipe out all our satellites. It'll just kill them all. And then we would truly be stuck.
Next up, let's go to Sabrina in New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Sabrina.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had two quick things to say, one of which is a question.
Okay.
About 2 years ago, when I still had an analog TV set, I used to periodically see words flash on it very, very quickly, a megasecond. And once when they were doing something about the war in Iran, they were showing a picture, like a really heavy-duty combat picture that they normally did not show. And the word Iran flashed over it. It was a story about Iraq. I don't know if I said that correctly. It was a story about Iraq, and then the word Iran flashed over it very, very quickly.
Subliminal?
I believe so, and I believe I was able to see it because I still had this analog TV set. What I wanted to ask, though, is, okay, Israel is talking about bombing nuclear facilities. Is that not the height of insanity? Would that not release an awful lot of radiation, totally uncontrolled? They're talking about bombing facilities that they don't. They say that they don't really understand what they're used for. They suspect they're used for, nefarious purposes, and they say they want to bomb them. That's the height of self-destruction.
What do you think of that, David? Can that happen?
Well, not really. They're not going to. The whole idea is you're not going to bomb, say, a nuclear reactor or something like that. You're going to wipe out the machinery that produces this. You can do the same thing by just wiping out the electrical generating plant, let's say, that produces electricity that goes into the facility to do nuclear research. Oak Ridge, Tennessee, where the first uranium was processed, you can wipe out all sorts of equipment without releasing any radiation. Some of the thinking is, and so I have to agree with this lady in some ways, some of the thinking that Israelis would have, and I'm not trying to put words in their mouth, but if they, depending upon the wind conditions, I don't know that right now, but if they say, okay, we bomb and there's a release of nuclear materials, they may just say, so what? as long as it stays in Iran. You know, all the big nuclear problems during the after the tsunami in Japan, there was no great big spike in nuclear problems around the world because most of that stuff was pretty well confined to Japan or the nearby waters. So I have a feeling that if it came to that and Israel actually did it, they would do it on a day where the winds weren't blowing their way and say, tough luck, Iran, you shouldn't have meddled with this to begin with.
Will this planet, David, will this planet ever get along with each other?
Oh, you know, when I was a kid or a teenager reading philosophies, you talked about the United Nations has come under a lot of fire. And I thought to myself, here, this is going to be some sort of a world government where we could all get together. And my wife and I go to New York three times or four times a year. We always stay at the Grand Hyatt, which is in walking distance, the UN. And we walk down there. We, you know, go like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so Sunday morning after breakfast, we walk down to the UN and kind of look around. The grounds are beautiful. Go into the General Assembly building and
security heavy?
No, there's some cops out there, but no, it's generally not. And my wife said, this is almost like church to you, isn't it? I said, yeah. I said, the idea of this, at least the notion of it, could be world peace. But, you know, who knows? We're not going to have an all-out nuclear war anymore, a world war anymore, because mutual assured destruction stopped that, and we weren't insane enough. But we're going to have these energy wars and water wars. I'm painting a bleak picture, guys.
You are. Tell me something nice. Can't you talk about a love story?
Yeah, I'm going to start writing love stories. But there are love stories, you know, as a side story. And lately, because my daughter and my wife were jumping on me about that I didn't have strong women characters. You know, all I had was little wimpy women that men had to save. And so now, in the last four, five, six books, I've had strong women characters, sometimes flawed, like all of us, but strong. And so there is usually a love angle there. I try.
Well, let's go to Colorado Springs.
That is the world as I see it.
Hey, Rich, go ahead. Rich, you with us?
Prince Colorado, Rich?
Yep, go ahead.
I'll tell you, George, you had a guest not too long ago who was a double agent in Iran, and he spoke about the fact that mutually assured destruction means nothing to those people because in the really, really deep-rooted Islamic tradition, they honestly believe that it's their job to bring about the end of the world. And
which is why we don't want them to have nuclear weapons, because they don't believe in the idea of MAD, and so the critics say, well, look, we're being hypocritical. U.S. has got nuclear weapons, France does, Russia does, China does. So why should we stop North Korea and Iran from having
nuclear
weapons?
We all adhere to mutually assured destruction,
and they don't.
Guys don't. And they've right. got this biblical, or not biblical, but Quranic belief that it's their job to bring about the end of the world. They get their 76 Vestal Virgins and a personal invite to sit down and eat dinner with Allah, I guess.
And that's why we have to do everything within our power not to let these guys have nuclear weapons. Because once they do, man, it's tough. They'd have it, and North Koreans have it, and that's a real political issue. You know, if they had a few hundred of them and some really heavy-duty missiles that would reach Washington and New York, I think things would be different.
I think so, too. David, hold on. We're going to come back with our final break with you on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, who is Alex Jones? What makes him tick? He'll be on the program, and we'll find out. We'll come back in a moment with David Hagberg and talk final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. David, how strong do you think our cyber command is? I mean, is it a powerful organization? Can they fight off just about anything?
Yes, but like that virus that they know is in our control centers for the grid, they have not, so far as last I've heard, they've been unable to do anything about it, and everybody's just sort of holding their breath. But I think it's like anything in computers, it's getting better and better, and you know, exponentially, our computers are getting faster and faster and more sophisticated, and these guys are some of the brightest minds. You know, over at the CIA, There are more PhDs per capita at the CIA than there are at Harvard.
I believe it. I believe
there's some really bright people working on this.
Now, have we dumped the system in the Russians and the Chinese grids?
You know, that's well, it wouldn't work so much because they have national grids that are hardened because the government runs them. Ours is not government run or controlled, and there's dozens of different companies all working some at odds with each other.
Well,
so we don't
right.
have a system that we can harden.
Some of them are publicly held and everything else, aren't they?
Some of them are
co-ops.
Held. A lot of them are privately held. The whole business, the business of transmitting power from one end of the country to the other is taken out of the hands of the people who produced the power long, long ago. But nobody has ever, you know, organized it. The government needs to organize it. Almost every other country is nationalized.
Let's go to Jim, truck driving in Connecticut. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, George?
Okay.
Long time no talk to.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You know, they can make oil, I heard from a guy that's a professor. They can make oil in the laboratory from turkey guts in 30 minutes. I was just wondering what your guest David thought about that.
Turkey guts. Well, there was a plant in Carthage, Missouri. I don't know if it's still running or not, David, but it got fuel from turkey remains.
Yeah, you can make burnable fuel from just about anything. There's some guys running around buying used cooking oil from McDonald's, and they run their car, their diesels on.
That's right.
The problem isn't producing, you know, making that kind of oil in the lab. The problem is producing enough. I think we use about 20 million barrels of gasoline a day just in this country alone. That's all, and a barrel is 42 gallons, I think. That's a lot of gasoline. You'd have to have a lot of turkey guts to do that. Same way if we switched all our cars and trucks to ethanol, just ethanol, which we make from corn. Every plantable acre of land in the entire world would have to grow nothing but corn just to produce ethanol. That's how big this stuff is. So, yeah, you can produce oil from a burnable fuel of one kind or another from just about anything. I'll tell you one, these garbage dumps, you know, these big mounds you see across the side of the – those, when they decompose – they produce methane. There's a few places around the United States where the methane is pumped out of the garbage disposal areas, and they use it to produce electricity locally, but not enough. But there are some farms in the Midwest where you use methane from belching cattle in the barn,
that's right.
Belching cattle, and they use that. They can burn that too, but not on the quantities that we actually use every day.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Hutchinson, Kansas. Jeff's with us east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you, too.
I had a question. First, George, we did have the Siemens moved into town here, a little town of 40,000. They built a huge plant to build nacelles for the windmills, and they're going to employ eventually over 400 people.
400, that's a lot.
Cool.
They have a plant in Iowa that makes the blades, and this is the guts, the generator part that they're going
okay.
to build. But anyway, we're doing a lot of talking here because we have the gigantic aquifer that's underground that runs from Kansas through Oklahoma down to Texas, I think some into New Mexico, that's the water source, and now the great guns have figured out that they want to put in a pipeline from Canada to the U.S. running all the way down through these states. And this pipeline runs right through the eastern boundary of the aquifer. And you were talking about the terrorists earlier. I was wondering what your guests felt about that pipeline and how vulnerable it would be since it's sitting underground, but it would be right on top of the aquifer.
But see, we're filled with very, very vulnerable systems like pipelines across the Alaskan tundra.
Yeah.
This pipeline is a hell of a lot more important going across drinking water. And yes, this stuff is vulnerable. Our power lines are vulnerable. It's It's just, well, our airlines were vulnerable, and now we get the TSA that everybody complains about, but there's been no hijacking, you know, since that. Yeah, we live in a vulnerable country. The problem is we have this freedom of speech, freedom of movement. You don't have to have a passport to drive from, let's say, Iowa to Montana. And with all that freedom, hell, I can go on the Internet and figure out and look up how to build a nuclear weapon. And it's all there, how to build explosives. And it's all, and that's part of, that's the downside of a totally open and free society. Yeah, it's extremely vulnerable. I would worry about it.
Why aren't the Iranians smarter, David? Why don't they recognize Israel and stop the rhetoric about saying we're going to blow them off the face of the map?
You know, it's a religious thing that they've painted themselves in a corner. You know, that first war in 47, when the United Nations recognized Israel as a country and the Arabs attacked them, said, it's just a little teeny country, going to wipe them off the face of the earth. But these were folks who survived the Holocaust, who survived Auschwitz and all that, and they said, we're going to fight until we die, and they bloodied the Arabs' noses. And now it's, you know, I don't want to get into the religion versus religion, because not all Muslims are obviously bad. All of them are terrorists. But they've backed themselves into a corner, into a religious corner, and they can't really get out without making total fools of themselves. I think if that government fell, like in the Arab Spring, and we got more of a democracy, things might change. I mean, Egypt recognized Israel, and so things are possible. You guys are asking for world peace, and you want me to tell you it's coming down the pike. I wish I could.
You don't feel it.
Nah. Well, again, this is terrible. The conditions on the planet are terrible for people, me included, but they're wonderful for storytellers, for novelists.
Idaho Falls, Idaho. Norman, it's your turn. Go ahead, Norman.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my
I was
pleasure.
Just wondering if you had heard about thorium. The Idaho National Laboratory, that is west of Idaho Falls, is working with it, and there was a large deposit discovered near Salmon, Idaho. Secondly, have you ever heard of John Revelator's prophecy that states that there will be an explosion in the Tiber River, and which a prophet will rise? There will be one prophet, one faith, and any who oppose him will be put to the sword.
No, I haven't heard that one. I've heard similar things like that, or predictions or whatever. Not that one in particular.
Are you an end times type person, David?
No. Yeah, Bob Gleason is our editor. He is. Yeah, I think that even if we, let's say, even with this runaway carbon dioxide and global warming, it's not going to wipe out humankind as a species. It's not going to be this Aztec 2012 calendar. It would certainly drastically change our lives, maybe all the way back to the Stone Ages. But we're too, maybe I'm being a Pollyanna here, but we're way, way too resilient. I guess we're about the only species ever on the planet that's been able to alter our environment. And I think that's going to stay that way. I don't think we're going to get wiped out. I don't think, had there been a worldwide nuclear war, like Carl Sagan said, a nuclear winter, I don't think all of human life would be wiped out. I think the only thing that would cause that is one of these asteroids that wiped out the dinosaurs.
Yep.
And even that might
be. Or a volcano, a huge volcano eruption.
Yeah, even that, I don't think. We would figure out a way with bunkers or whatever. We're too versatile a species. So as far as world peace goes, no, we're a long ways from it. But as far as our destruction go, as a human beings, no, that's not even close. We're better than that.
Let's go to William. He's driving in California. Hi, William.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, first off, I forgot about something I was going to say. I think, in a way, I think George is right about oil. But I think it's actually derived from compressed aged gas, like methane gas, converted like diamonds and coal and whatnot. That's my theory, although there's a lot of gas out here. I don't think it's infinite, especially if we keep growing the way we are. So I think there is limitations. But what I called about is a couple things. One, I think you guys are right. If you can't make a ton of money, if a corporation can't get behind it, you don't really hear about it a lot, because I have ADD and I go on the internet and kind of research trippy things a lot. And I've seen stuff like a car in Austria that's manufactured that gets 150 miles to the gallon. And I've seen also stuff here in America, like, and I don't know this guy personally, but he's in Texas and he can make water out of air.
Yeah.
And electricity out of water. I think it's droughtmasters.com, I think is the website. But there are things out there.
And what about the compressed air car from India? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the point is, of all these things, yes, we can break down water into hydrogen and oxygen, right? And then we can burn, hydrogen will burn in the presence of oxygen. So we'll burn the hydrogen and turn it back to water. But it's a losing proposition, because it takes more energy of some kind to break the water down into hydrogen and oxygen than you're going to get when you burn, something has to lose. Then when you burn the hydrogen and oxygen back for energy, you're going to get less energy than it took to break down the hydrogen and oxygen to begin with, unless we can do it with solar power. And so these things, they all work. All this stuff is really great. There's a car, it looks like a hot dog on wheels, real low slung, carries two people. They get, what was I reading the other day? They get 1,200 or 1,300 miles to a gallon. But it's not something you drive, you and the family, to work. It's extremely aerodynamic. One person sort of lays in the thing. So, yes, all this stuff is possible, but none of it's practical on the scale we need.
Fort St. Lucie, Florida, we have Joshua waiting. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey there. I was asking, what is your opinion on the Occupy movement, this lovely rebellion against the status quo we call the Occupy?
Have you looked at it, David? Occupied group?
Occupied? No, I don't know what Occupy group. I had misheard them. I don't know. Tell me more.
Well, now, you've heard of these groups that are all Occupy Wall Street.
I'm thinking terrorist organizations in Iran or something.
No, they're not terrorists.
No, absolutely
far
not.
From it.
And I think, and by the way, I used to live in Vero Beach, not too far from St. Lucie. I think it's wonderful. Again, we have freedom of speech and assembly and all that in this, and that's guaranteed in our Constitution. My only problem with the group is, what are they protesting? They have no agenda. If I'm going to protest something, I'm going to say, look, I don't want pig farms within 50 miles of my house. And a bunch of people agree with me, and we're going to get together and we're going to protest at the USDA or whatever. Or I think one of the protests should be, if there's a government bailout of some big bank or financial institution, they should cap the amount of compensation the CEO gets. I mean, who was just a recent company, the CEO they hired, some woman, she failed. She was there 9 months, and she failed, and the company was maybe a Kodak or something. They gave her a going-away package of $27 million. That's nuts.
That's failure?
That's what I'm thinking. This Occupy group, the 99%ers, that's what they should go, a specific thing. Get, because Congress is listening, get Congress to cap compensation. They'll fight, the companies will fight back.
Look, they just gave bonuses to the executives of Fannie and Freddie Mae, right? The home mortgage companies, part of the United States government. They're losing billions a quarter, and they give these people $12 million in bonuses.
Well, their argument, because I'm a Libra, so I see both sides of that almost every issue. Their argument is, unless we offer these bonuses, we're not going to get the brightest minds. Well, if these are the brightest minds,
maybe the dumb people would lose more. Who knows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like you and I and the truck drivers. Remember that song of John Denver, Late Night Radio, Take It Everywhere It Goes? Best friend when I'm low. I love that song. We should run the show. We couldn't do any worse.
Let's go to Dan, Colorado Springs, Colorado, first-time caller. Hi, Dan.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure, thank you.
One of the questions I have regarding the two buildings that were struck by the airplanes, and you guys seem to think that, or your guests seem to think, the gasoline brought the buildings down. And I wonder, have you ever heard of zero-point energy?
Well, you know I have.
Okay. No, I haven't.
Tell me about zero point energy.
A comment I made by an expert on zero point energy was that the buildings, when they collapsed, they disintegrated.
Yes, they did. They crumbled.
They didn't fall down in blocks and pieces and chunks and
things. Break off.
They just turned into dust. And we weren't able to find a desk, a chair, anything of any substance.
Oh, but we found a passport of a hijacker.
There you have it. Was it his passport or his driver's license? I forget.
Well, they found human bones and buildings blocks on the roofs of buildings blocks away.
Oh, but, man, I'll tell you what. That to me says something. And then to have Building 7 actually blow up like a controlled explosion building the way that Suazo Brothers would do it. In Las Vegas or wherever they blow buildings up, they said that to bring those two buildings down the way they came down would be a virtual impossibility unless you had about a year, 2 years to plan it. And they said it was just absolutely impossible to see those two buildings come down the way they did in the amount of time that they did. And one other thing I had was this Occupy Wall Street. People are occupying Wall Street because we're occupying a place because we've just witnessed the largest crime in the history of mankind.
I agree.
I don't believe we've ever seen $13, $14, $15 trillion
and they got away with it.
The way Wall Street managed to do it.
Poof.
Well, they not only got away with it, they got bonuses. Come on, guys.
Everywhere. David, to tell us where we can get the book Abyss.
Abyss is at any bookstore, of course. No longer Borders, unfortunately, but Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Amazon.com and on BarnesandNoble.com. If you go to my website, David-Hagberg.com, I've got links to probably 8 or 10 or 12 places to buy the book. And if you just go online, Google David Hagberg, there's like about 800,000 entries or something. Lots of them are specialty bookshops all over the world who you can order from online, usually at a nice discount.
Oh, absolutely. Say hi to Bob Gleason for me next time you chat.
Sure
with
will. Are you doing another book with him?
A couple more down the line.
Oh, fantastic.
Couple more. Okay. He's a great editor, isn't he?
Well, he's wonderful. He's been my friend for almost 30 years.
He's got that magic red pen.
All right,
David. Thanks so much. Let's hope that some of your things don't come true, but they have in the past. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Tim Banal, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.